Hallelujah. Now, Father, we ask this morning, yet again, that you grant to us wisdom and insight in your word. Thank you for revelation this morning. It's clarity of thought, it's accuracy of preaching, precision in reception and understanding. No error at all. All illustrations, they apply. All examples, they edify. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we begin an exciting study, exciting because it will address very many pertinent questions. For example, we just finished a series on tithing, right? If you missed that, I don't know what you did not miss. We just finished a series on tithe and tithing. I believe that was clear enough, I think. So I want to look at there's an issue people ask about material wealth. How is it related to your being saved? Does getting saved affect your material possessions? You make more money because you're saved, or do you lose the money because you're saved? So we titled this, Faith in the Gospel of Christ, Material Things, Money, and other things. I think that's the title I have in my mind. Faith in the Gospel of Christ. Then you have in the bracket, you know the way we had me? Okay, that's not everything. Faith in the Gospel of Christ and material things, wealth, money, and other things. I've added something to it, right? Yesterday, today, and always. Yesterday, today, and always means we will go to the Old Testament to explore why were people rich? Was it because they served God or because they didn't serve God? So that's going to be quite some study, I think. Right? Not really. It's just that most of our minds have not been developed. And I was at a conference 2 weeks back. And on international television, I said something about Abraham. You know what I mean? And somebody mailed from America, a bishop. He said, I don't agree with what he's saying. And my host, he said what he quoted from the Bible. Is it that you don't agree with the Bible? quite some things have been wrongly taught. And then we just put them straight so that there will be no confusion. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:15, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The 16, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, the 15th verse already shows us that the Scriptures, now, the Scriptures they refer to where now? Genesis to where? Come on. To Malachi, right? The Scriptures there refer just to Malachi, and he's saying that it's profitable for teaching, and he says teaching salvation. Okay, teaching salvation through faith in Christ. The word salvation is soteria, and I taught you earlier on that the word soteria has the word sota. Sota is the one who carries out soteria. And that's why the previous verse, sota is S-O-T-R, sota has to be the one who carries out the salvation, the savior, we call the Messiah. And in this instance, that's why faith has to be in the sota. He says, faith, salvation through faith in Christ. So I say faith in Christ. Right. So we need to examine what faith in Christ is. Because it's faith in Christ that makes us understand what faith in Christ can do. Because if you don't know what faith in Christ can do, you will think what faith in Christ did was not what it did, or what faith in Christ did not do was what it did. You need to be clear about what faith in Christ is. Now, Jesus talked about believing in him. You know, today you have people say, I believe in God. That's not sufficient. Because the Bible says that demons also believe and they tremble. In fact, the atheist, I always say this, the atheist believes in God. That's why he's always arguing. James 2:19 says demons believe, they tremble. The atheist believes in God. That's why I say he doesn't exist. It's faith. Right? It's faith. That's why he's doing all his entire life studying that something does not exist. You did all your life to prove that something doesn't exist. It shows it exists. You get it? You know, you just ignore what doesn't exist. But you are studying, doing programs, writing books. My God, something is talking your conscience somewhere. Hallelujah. You know, and the truth is this, most atheists, you know, they cannot prove anything without the Bible. That's so funny. Okay, so Jesus spoke about faith in God, right? John's Gospel 14. We're going to open quite some scriptures, and you must be ready to do that. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Say, believe also in me. You believe in God. Believe also in me. So in verse 12, he says, for verily I say unto you, he that believes on me. So Jesus did talk about believing on him. That's on Christ. And I've explained to you that this statement had to do with his resurrection. Believing on me or believing in me. Now, look at a couple of other verses. John 6:47. He that believes on me has. John 6:47. He that believes on me or in me has everlasting life. John 6:47. Did you see that? Come on, open it. Did you see it? Okay, now, John 3:16. You have to open it. I know you know it. Open to John 3:16. Let's take it together. John 3:16. Let's go. For God so loved the world. Okay, so whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but has what? So we have two things again. In John 6:47, he has everlasting life. In John 3:16, he has everlasting life. Okay, good. Look at John 3:36. John 3:36. Are you there? Let me have it. John 3:36. He that believes on the Son has what? Everlasting life. Okay? And we know everlasting life was only available when he rose from the dead. So that means the faith is talking about faith in Christ, okay, in his resurrection. That's what he's referring to. Because everlasting life is only available when he rose from the dead. You couldn't have everlasting life when he eventually died. Amen. Everlasting life is only available when he rose from the dead. That's what we call resurrection life. And so that's the kind of faith we're referring to here. Now pay attention to that. That's vital. John 1:12. John 1:12. He that believes. Right? John 1:12. Are you there? Let's have it. As many as what? Received him. To them he gave the power to be called the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now notice that. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power, that's the word exousia, which means a right and a privilege to become the sons of God. Now, notice that that is a promissory note, okay? Something they will become. But we don't have, that's not a verse for us. For example, everything we have read so far is about those folks who believe in him, okay, before he rose from the dead. Let's leave that for now. So, believing in Christ gives a man everlasting life. Believing in Christ gives a man sonship. Okay. Now quickly go to Romans 1. So we examine this. Romans 1. Believing. Faith in Christ. Before you go to Romans, let's go to Acts of the Apostles. There's Acts of the Apostles. You know why we didn't read much of Matthew, Mark, and Luke? You should know by now. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke did not talk about believing. Remember we've done that study before? Huh? You know, we said John had most of the believing in the four gospels. Remember we've done that study before? Alright, good. They focus on other things. They use the word repent. John doesn't use repent. John uses the word believing where they use repent. Because repentance means to believe. Repentance means to change your mind, okay? And your mind, repentance is not behavior. It's a very wrong teaching. Repentance is not behavior because the word repentance is from metanoia. It means your mind. Your mind. It's a mental state. It's not a behavioral state. You can be here. I hope not. You can be here and your mind is on the road. But the minute you put your mind back here, you have repented. Even though you are here, you can be praying, your mind is elsewhere. You can be serving God, everybody can see, but your mind is elsewhere. Repentance is when your mind is in it. And that's where faith is born. Repentance is not behavior. Praise the Lord. I've done that teaching for you before in case you didn't get it. It's an ideal book. Okay, so John did more believing. He spoke more of believing than every other person. Now, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and then verse 12. Acts 8, verse 12 and 13. This was Philip who went to Samaria and then preached Christ. 12 and 13. Where am I? All right, 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord and the name of Jesus Christ. Two things or one and the same? Huh? Same, okay. That the kingdom of God is what? The name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized both men and women, okay? And Simon himself believed also and he was baptized. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. So we have people here who have believed. They believe what? What did they believe? Just track back to verse 5. What did they believe? Verse 5. And Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Alright, so what did he preach to them? Christ. And so what did they believe in? They believed in Christ. Because he preached to them. Okay? And we can say he preached the gospel to them. Am I right? Am I right? He preached the gospel to them and then they believed. Okay? So it's not good enough to believe in God. I believe in God. I believe God exists. Oh, everybody does. You know, it's not good enough to believe in God. So they believe. Now go to Acts 10. So can we say in Samaria they had faith in Christ? Why? Because they preached the gospel and they had faith in Christ. Very good. Look at Acts 10. Peter now, in the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is a very influential man. He's like a government official, a very highly rated government official who runs the government, right? And we also found Simon the Sorcerer is also a highly rated official. Now of what now? Of sorcery. President of Sorcerer's Association of Samaria. Quite influential. He has a TV program. Are you there? Okay, Acts 8. So Acts 10. Look at verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Right? He says, whosoever believes in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. Hallelujah. Whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Acts 13. Verse 38. I want us to read that together. 38 and 39. Acts 13. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Are you there now? So let's go. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Okay, go on. And that by him all that believe are justified from all things from which they couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Okay, so he says again, forgiveness of sins. He says all that believe are what? Justified. By what? They couldn't be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. So, anybody here believe in Christ? Anybody? Just a few? Let's have an evangelistic meeting. Anybody? So what have you received? Let's start again. If you should remember everything we have read so far. What have you received? It's everlasting life. Good. What else did you become? A son of God. Two. What have you received? Forgiveness of sins. Right? What else now? Justification from all things. Amen. So, I have everlasting life. I have forgiveness of sins. I am justified from all things. Hallelujah. Okay, those are clear truths. I am a son of God. Come on, say, I'm a son of God. Excellent. So, Acts 26, verse 18. Now, how are those things possible? By what? Faith. You know, we just read faith, believe. Faith, believe in Christ. In Christ. Acts 26. Verse 18. It's Paul speaking now about vision he received from Jesus. Acts 26, 18. Are you there? Let's take it together. Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and turn from darkness to light. To turn from darkness to light. And the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So forgiveness of sins is what? An inheritance among them that are sanctified by what? Faith that is in me. So how do you receive forgiveness of sins? By faith. Right. So what do you have again? Forgiveness of sins. How? By faith in me. That's what you have. So quickly go to Romans 1:16, because we're going to read very many scriptures, like I said. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to who? Everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's take 17 together. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So as it's written, the just shall live by faith. So he says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So when you believe, you're saved. And was in the gospel? The righteousness of God. So I mean, the righteousness of God is in the gospel of Christ. When I receive the gospel and I believe the gospel, I receive the righteousness of God. Thank you. Now go to Romans 3:22. Romans 3:22. Come on. Romans 3:22. Righteousness of God. Let's take it together. Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Oftentimes we read verse 23 together. We leave verse 22, we shout verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can that make your voice rise? I thought verse 22 should make your voice rise. Then it comes low in 23, then rises in 24. But somehow we read 22 casually, then 23 gets us excited. For all have sinned and come to the glory of God. Being freely justified. You find out that's really a product of how you were taught somewhere. Not in this church, never. So, the righteousness of God is for who? All that believe. Thank you. Look at verse 26. 26, let's go, everybody. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. So what's been consistent so far in believing in Jesus? What's been consistent? Justification. Right? Forgiveness of sins. And being justified. That's been consistent, right? Am I right? Acts of the Apostles now. So, justified. 27. Let's take 27 together. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law of works? No. But by the law of faith. Remind me, I want to teach us the term works of the law. I'll squeeze it somewhere. You know, it's something I need to clear. The term works of the law. Thank you. Romans 10. Look at verse 4. Now, you know, the background of Romans 10 was these folks were going about establishing their own righteousness, which is of the law. They were trying to get righteous by works, by what they do, what they don't do, and stuff like that. You know, we have many teachings that I call them behavioral modification. Now that you are a Christian, behavioral modification. You have Christian hairstyle. Rubber. You know rubber? You say you do? Okay now. But that's not righteousness. Righteousness is by faith. Amen. Praise God. It's by faith. That's what it is. Okay, so verse 4. I'm out of there. Come on. Verse 4. Let's go. For Christ is the end of a law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That means if you're a believer, Christ brings the law to an end for you. Okay? To everyone that believes. Let's take verse 6 together. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. So that means we have kinds of righteousness. There is a righteousness which is of faith. It speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ from down from above, who shall descend the deep, that is to bring Christ from the dead. See, but what seeth it, the word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, hallelujah, that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's take verse 10 together. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, salvation is also called righteousness, right? Salvation is called, if you say you are saved but you are not righteous, you were never saved. Because salvation is righteousness. Salvation is to be justified. That's what salvation is. So, we have faith, again, righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints, that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So, to call upon, what does it mean to call upon? To call upon, you see that in Romans 10. What do you mean to call upon? Romans 10, 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To call upon means to believe. Alright? To call upon means to confess the Lordship of Jesus. So he says, everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, he is called a saint. The word saint, when I was younger, it had two meanings. Saint Paul. So and so church. That is somebody who has died, but before he died, he lived a very good life. You know. Then, saint now could not mean, and he's behaving like he's a saint, you know, so it's just the same thing. But, saint just means someone who is treated differently. I think we've explained that here before, several times. So, he says, these people, because they believe, they are treated differently in Christ Jesus. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Don't forget we're looking at the term faith in Christ, or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The faith of the Son of God. He loved me and he gave himself for me. How do you say it? Say, Christ lives in me. Say, Christ lives in me. Thank you. Ephesians 1:13. So faith in Christ runs through the Bible. Through the Bible. Ephesians 1:13. Let's take it together. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Say, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, good. Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9. Philippians 3:9, remember? We've studied this before. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That is, you're trying to become, you're trying to comply with rules and regulations, alright, to be called righteous. Said, my own righteousness, which is of the law, okay? So we have two kinds of righteousness. Your own righteousness, which is of the law. So, whatever righteousness can be gotten from Deuteronomy, Exodus, and all those books, and Judges, that the righteousness of works. Okay? But he said, I won't be found with that. He says, not being found, not having my own righteousness of the law, but that which is through what? The faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. So, how does the righteousness of God come to a man? By what? Faith. It's by faith. Faith in who now? Faith of who? Faith? The faith of Christ. Not just faith. Don't say, I just believe. Faith of Christ. It's focused on Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2. Colossians 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of what? Your faith where? In Christ. Let's take six together. As you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus our Lord, so walk in Him. So, how do you receive? Faith. How do you walk? If you didn't receive him by walks, you can't walk by walks. Hallelujah. He said, hallelujah. So you receive him by faith. You walk by faith. So, very key element to understand the scriptures is the term faith in Christ. Faith in Christ is a key element to understand things. And then we've seen what faith in Christ does. Faith in Christ gives forgiveness of sins. It gives eternal life. It gives justification, and then you are a son. Now, don't forget, so we say quickly, let me add this. So, this is righteousness. Can we say faith in Christ is righteousness? We'll be right. Faith in Christ is justification. Faith in Christ is forgiveness of sins. Faith in Christ is end of the law. Faith in Christ is a new birth. Is that right? Come on. Let's take it again. Faith in Christ is forgiveness of sins. Faith in Christ is righteousness. Faith in Christ is justification. Faith in Christ is sanctification. Faith in Christ is a new birth. Alright? And faith in Christ, I mean, is faith in the gospel. Is that right? Okay, is that right? So now, in Christ will be in the resurrection of Jesus. Is that right? Come on. Talk to me, guys. In Christ will be what? In the resurrection of Jesus. So, a key truth about the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus. Because if there is no resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no gospel. The gospel is keyed in, or better still, the gospel is so defined because of the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, his death is vital, his burial is vital, but it's his resurrection that is the focal point of the gospel. Because that's where the promise is fulfilled. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 quickly. Verse 3 and 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. Are you there? You know, quickly let me say this, you know. The truth is, look at the first thing he says. Moreover, brethren, I start from verse 1. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you receive and wherein you stand. You know, most of the time, when we preach to people, and we get, people are so bothered about whether a funny school is where they'll get to heaven at all. Then you begin to follow up the person, so the person will not miss it, so he will make it. And then you learned not to do that because that's crap. Then again, there's still this, let me just follow up the person. There's still a subtle fear. Somewhere. That's why I say, where were you last week? Where did you go? We did not see you in the church. You know, which is a pun really. But the truth is this. If the fellow has believed in the gospel has the power to make him stand. Is because we don't trust what we are preached. So we begin to do the work of the Holy Spirit. They will say, be careful, you know, because you are not sure what you said. If it's the gospel, he will stand. Because the power in the gospel is not just to believe. He says he that began the good work, he's faithful to complete it. That's the gospel. Philippians 1:6. Hallelujah. He's able to make you stand. Jude 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. So that's a, you know, too much stress on people. Hallelujah. Too much stress. I can't recall who followed me up. Like he followed me up. I can recall the person who preached to me and then came to see me the next day. But I can't recall someone coming to me every day to talk to me. No. Because the gospel is the power of God. Hallelujah. If a man believes the gospel, he is a believer. Hallelujah. You know, come on, you now hear something about the person. That brother! You rush to his house. What did this, what did I hear about you now? What did I just hear? Have you forgotten you are not a Christian? Can you imagine? Is that? Hallelujah. That's another day. Praise God. We'll come and talk about it. There's some follow-up that is works. It's Old Testament related. You are afraid for God. God, are you just watching this person? I think we are finally sleeping and slumbering because this is... Look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. I love this. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And now that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is tied to that resurrection. Hallelujah. Because look at verse 14. Let's take 14 together. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. So, how important is the resurrection? That is the gospel. The resurrection already subsumes the facts of his death and burial. So, the key event is what? Come on, talk to me. The key event is what? Everybody say, everything was finished on the cross. You don't know what the gospel is. He said, it is finished. Everything is on the cross. No. It is resurrection that is the focal point of the gospel. Are we together? So we can say, faith in Christ in the, before Jesus rose from the dead, will be a hope. Come on. Will be a hope because the event has not happened. It's faith, but it's a hope. Okay? So faith in Christ, upon his resurrection, will be on what has already happened. Are you together? Come on, guys. Right. So, make sure you don't forget what I just said now, because it's going to come out shortly. Now, so the resurrection was a promise. Is it still a promise today? No. Good. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some people have turned this to the definition of faith. Brethren, faith is the substance. Is it tied to deed? Oh, yes. They tied to deed. But you see, I've taught you don't use the Bible for definitions. Scriptures are for explanations, not definitions. Love is, God is love. But if you want to know what love is, just look at God. Brethren, God is love. And the guy says, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. You don't understand the mystery of love. He destroyed Egypt. I say you don't get it. You know, that means he didn't get that. You know, a fellow was preaching this a while back. This is just by the way, it's not my teaching. So he said that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, did you see what he became? That was it. What? See Bible. So what did he become? He said, flesh and light. So a guy asked me, he said, but the Bible says God is light. And I said, true. God is love. He also rules as flesh and love. God is spirit. Should I tell you more? I got your point now. You know, when people get too excited, they say nonsense. You know, God is love. Why do you call God love? Because of an action. God is love. Really doesn't say God, when you see love, you see God. Mm-mm. God is light. God is love. All refer to the giving of his son. That's what he's talking about. God is love, brethren. Let's love one another. To people that are not believers. You need that love in your life first. You, the preacher. Hallelujah. Okay, what were we now? So, Hebrews 11:1. How did I get his love? So faith is something for the evidence of sin. So remove the verses to make sense. Hope for, not sin. Okay? Why did he say that? Why? Where did he mention faith before now? Verse 38. The just shall live by faith. Which is quoted from Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. Now Habakkuk 2:4, go there quickly. Because this is a very vital text. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. You must have Habakkuk. Abba the cook. Abba Father. That's another revelation. Habakkuk. Abba Father is cooking great things for you. No. Kind of funny. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by the faith, or by his faith. Now, before then, he said, verse 2, write the vision and bring it plain upon the table, so that he may run that read it. For the vision, for the appointed time, you want to start your factory, The vision, for the appointed time. Are you planning to go to the abroad? The vision, for the appointed time. By the end, you shall speak. Let not lie. Though he is only waiting for it. Because it will surely come. You do not know that. Brethren, what are the things you are planning for this year? Write it down. 17 keys to vision. Number one, stand up for your watch. Number two, is it whenever we deviate like that, we forget. Come to the epistle, let it make it clear to you. Come on, look at that. What will come? Hebrews 10 again. Verse 37. Are you there? Are you there? Yet a little while. And he that will come, will come. So the it was talking about the Christ. Hallelujah. And will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. In other words, in those texts, the just, those who are justified, will be the ones who will wait for it. The ones who wait for it. The ones who are expecting it. He that will come. Do you get this? That's what he's talking about. Though it tarries. That means the promise, we're going to see now, the promise of Christ's resurrection may tarry. He says wait for it. If for an appointed time. Are you still there? That's what he's talking about. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back that he can wait, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's not us. That's the people who expect. And he says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1, says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Is it faith now or faith then? Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's examine that because that's vital. So when he says, now, okay, because we have two words, substance and evidence. The word substance, hypostasis, we'll come to it. The word evidence is the word elekō. We'll come to both of them soon. Now, he says, now, which is that's not right now. No. The word now is like saying, this. All right? This faith. Like say, this faith. This faith. Come like that. This faith. That word, Emi in the Greek. E-M-I-A. E-I-M-I. 2,479 times. It just means is. Or better still, you put it like this. If I'm going to define it, say, moreover, faith existed or was, okay, the substance of things hoped for. So the word now is faith. Let me put it like this. Let me do that one more time. That was a small error there. I'll put it like that. I'll rather say it like this. If I'm going to interpret this text, I'll say, now is faith. Not now faith is. So the is before faith. Now is faith. Because of what I just said in verse 38 and 39. I'll say, now is faith. The word now be moreover. Okay. Is faith. That is what faith now. The faith of Habakkuk 2 verse 4. So that's what we're discussing. The just shall live by faith. The one that will wait for it, it will not tarry, it will come. So it says now or moreover, which in the Greek is an adversative particle. That's it. On the other hand. Alright? On the other hand of what? Those that drew back. Okay. Now on the other hand, instead of drawing back, faith exists as the substance of things hoped for. So we're not of them that draw back. Who are those people? The people who waited for it. That should come, should come. So now is faith, okay? Now is faith the substance of things hoped for. The word now is moreover explaining faith, the faith that the just lives by. Now is faith the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Again, verse 39, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but to them that believe to the saving of the soul. So chapter 11 verse 1 defines what it means. Who are them? Don't forget, he's talking about them. Them in the Old Testament. So them in the Old Testament believe to what? The saving of the soul. We are not of them that draw back. That means in the Old Testament, you have two sets of people. There will be those who believe to what? And those who did what? Who drew back. That means to both sets of people, the gospel must have been preached unto them. One believed to the saving of the soul, even though the Bible says it will tarry, yes, but it will come. Okay? That means the event had not happened, it will happen. Some just drew back. Some believed. So it says now, that is moreover, different from those who drew back. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me see how that's clear to you. Is that clear to you? Okay. Don't take your mind off Habakkuk 2:4. Because that's what we're discussing. So, therefore, pay attention now. Faith in that time will be to hope. Expectation. Help is. Expectation. Faith, hoped, you know, because in the Greek, or even in the, I think in English Bible, faith is just mentioned once. Right? So make sure, let's see a straight sentence. Faith exists as substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. You get it? Let's take a stretch without stopping. Faith existed as what? Substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Don't separate it. So let's take it one more time. Let's take it again. Faith exists as substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Are you there? Good. Evidence of things not seen. So, now, it's hope for assurance. Again, who are the them? Them who didn't draw back. Them who expected it to happen. Verse 3. Let's take verse 3 together. So them. Okay, verse 2 first. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. We're coming to that soon. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by what? So if we start from verse 3 to verse 39. Okay. Verse 3 to 39 will be those who hope for. Alright. For things not seen. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. They hope for things they have not what? Seen. So, verse 3 to verse 39 will tell you the persons he's referring to. And these are the people who did not draw back to perdition, but believed to what? The saving of the soul. Are we together here? Okay, good. Now, let's get back to the word substance. It's the word hypostasis. Hypostasis means something that makes something real. That is, it makes another existence real. Hypostasis is used for the word assurance. Let's see where we can find that word. 2 Corinthians 9:4. Hypostasis. 2 Corinthians 9:4. Are you in church? 2 Corinthians 9:4. Let us believe they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. We, that we say not you, should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. Confident. The word confident. That's 2 Corinthians 11:17. That which I speak, it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Confidence of boasting. So confidence. Now Hebrews 1:3, pay attention to this one. Because it's always good to look at the word in that book. Hebrews 1:3, hypostasis. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, upholding all things by the word of his power. So, upholding. All things. Now, wait for that. Upholding hypostasis, to hold something together by the word of his power. Okay? Notice that. To hold something together. Pay attention. I've not defined hypostasis yet. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Okay? When he had by himself purged our sins and sat on the right hand of majesty on high. So, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. So he opposed all things. That is, we put all things together. What's he talking about? The express image of his person. Now look at the word person. I put substance. Express image. Jesus is the express image of his person, of his assurance. That is, we see Jesus. We see him. When we see Jesus, we see him. Where we see Jesus is the same thing as seeing God. So we can say, expert upholding all things by the word of his power. That is, by that, we now put everything together. Uphold all things. We put all things together. So he says, watch this again. The express image will be the brightness of his glory. The express image of his person. Person. So the first word for hypostasis in the book of Hebrews is used for Jesus. Jesus, who is the substance of God that has not been seen. But seeing him is equated with what? Seeing God. Are you there? So hypostasis. That's the first time this is used in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 3:14. Old Testament. We are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast, or steadfast confidence, unto the end. So, that means hypostasis is used for reality. Reality. Reality, even when your eyes have not seen something. Reality. Even when your eyes haven't seen something. So, that means back then, this is good, the reality of Christ's resurrection will be where? The reality of Christ's resurrection will be found where? In their faith. It will not be found in things. It will be found in their faith. The assurance of Christ's resurrection, we're going to see so shortly, will be found in their faith. Now, let's go to one vital thing, because this will help you see what I'm saying. Hebrews 1:1. Now, faith is the sort of things hoped for, the other things not seen. Now, the word things here is, I guess, why people have used it for just everything. What are you praying for? I'm praying for a husband. And then they say, come to church and wear a gown. You know about that? That's people come to church with gowns. You say, is this mass wedding so is a faith service? What I just mean. Substance of things hoped for. Well, the word things here. You know, if I didn't know what it meant, I would just say anything. Faith is the substance of a car you are hoping for. Without going further, if you just read Hebrews 11, you could never have imagined he was talking about physical things. Faith, baby, is the substance of a phone you are hoping for. iPhone 6G. Yeah. Or Brazilian hair. What's the big deal about Brazilian? By the way, I'm just wondering, Brazil, does he make you play football or something? Now the word here is not talking about physical things. Because there was nothing that many of them had enough things. Right? Some of them were even kings. So were they, maybe they were, well, it's not likely that David, for example, was hoping for Lamborghini. Kind of funny. Because maybe in that period they didn't have a jet. So they were hoping for jets. So faith for them was to say, ha, the time will come, I'll have a jet. Now do they have jets? I don't think so. Okay, am I communicating something? Now, don't forget where we started from. The faith defines the folks who did not draw back. Who were they? The elders. Who were they? Verse 3 to verse 39, Hebrews 11. Are we together here? We're good. Now, the word things is the Greek word pragma. 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 So let's see where pragma was used. Matthew 18:19. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Okay? Anything. Anything. Okay? The word anything there is pragma. Luke 11:1. Please mark the word it shall be done. I need you to put the word it shall be done. It's a vital word. Luke 11:1. All right. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, it came to pass, mark that. And when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. Luke 11. Acts 5:4. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? This thing. Verse 4. This thing in thy heart. Pragma. Romans 16:2. That ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business he had need of you. For she had been a succorer of many and of myself. Whatever business, alright, business, that's the word, business, she has need of you. Romans 16:2. One more time. 1 Corinthians 6:1. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Sorry. 1 Corinthians 6:1. Dare any of you having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? A matter. Mark that. 2 Corinthians 7:11. And behold, this self same theme which you sorrowed after a godly sort, with carefulness is wrought in you. Self same thing. Verse 11. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. In things. Okay. 4 Thessalonians 4:6. And no man shall go beyond and before his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have forewarned you and testified in any matter. Then Hebrews 6:18, you must pay attention to that one because it's the same book. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things, immutable cars, immutable houses, no, immutable pragma. Hebrews 10:1. The Lord having a shadow of good things to come. And not the very image of the things. Pragma. So James 3:16. I just read Hebrews 10:1. James 3:16. Watch this now. For where in envy and strife there is confusion and every evil work. Look at the word work. Walk there is pragma. So, pragma refers to an action. Have you observed that? What we have read so far, were they physical things or actions? Actions or things? Actions. And it tends to be an action of a third party many times. Something someone will do. Right? So, pay attention to this. Because it's from the word praso. Praso is P-R-A-S-S-O. Praso is where you have to do or to accomplish 39 times. So, praso is a condition of something or an action of another or to perform. But every time it's used, an accomplished task. So, let's look at it like this. Faith is the assurance of an action hoped for. Evidence of actions not seen. Does that clear it for you? Should I go over again? Why must I? You were not following me? In Matthew 8:16, Luke 11:1, okay, Acts 5:4, Ananias and Sapphira. And then we also read 1 Corinthians 6:1, having you a matter before anyone. 2 Corinthians 7:11, read that. Then we read, which other one? Huh? 1 Thessalonians, it can't be 6, there's nothing like 6. Huh? 4:6. Then James 3:16, every evil work. Then Hebrews 6:18. By two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. It can't be two immutable, phone and car. That means actions. Things that God did, it's impossible for him to lie. Are you there? Then Hebrews 10:1. The law having a shadow of good things to come. And the law was a shadow of what Christ will do. Are you there? So, Hebrews 11:1. Now bring it. It makes sense now. Faith will be the substance of what? Action of another, not seen. Evidence of actions of someone, not seen. Well, hope for, sorry. Things hoped for, actions not seen. Does it make sense to you? Alright. So, that said, conviction there, the word, evidence is conviction or persuasion. Or proof. Proof. Actually is better. Proof. Proof. That which brings, that which is of faith. You'll find the same word, 2 Corinthians 3, 2 Peter, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for teaching, then reproof. Reproof is the word eleko, same word. E-L-E-G-H-G-C-H-O-S. Electicos. It means persuasion. Proof. So, again, Hebrews 4:2, how did faith come? He says, same gospel preached unto us was preached unto them, not being mixed with what? Faith. How do they mix it with faith? Huh? They believe in what will be done by the gospel they've heard. So the gospel to them will be to hope for what someone will do. The gospel to us, I started with that, is to believe on what has already been done. Let me see how it doesn't make sense to you. Right. Okay. So the things are not things, physical things, but an action. Because if we start to study now, you find out that many people we're going to read about had enough things. So their faith could never have been for things. Are you there? Good, good. So, Hebrews 11. You learning something? Hebrews 11. So imagine if we translated this place properly, it would destroy many preachings. For by it, pay attention now, the elders, presbyterios, alright, that's leaders, 66 times this is used, obtained a good report. You know, King James language is very interesting. They obtained a good report. The word report is material. You know material already? Material means to give evidence by speaking. So, how can they obtain by speaking? Okay? Because it's referring to the Old Testament books. So it ought to be, by faith, the elders gave a good report. That is, we're going to see faith in what they said. Hallelujah. We're going to see it in what they said. They gave a good report. Not difficult to see. Hebrews 1:1. God was sundry times in diverse manners. You know what that means already, because I've reconstructed that place for you. At sundry times in diverse manners, the prophets spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. So it's by speaking. Now, were they saying things that were happening or saying things that will happen? Now, the things that will happen will be about who? Christ. Are Are you there? Good. About Christ. They spoke things, okay, that will happen. So verse 3, Hebrews 11. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God, that the things which are seen were not made with things which do appear. Now, when it says seen, is the visible, the Greek word phaino, phaino, were not made of things which do appear. Now, there are two things he plays on words. The first one means visible, things which are seen. The second word, appear, which are seen, were not made of things appear. The word appear means to discern, blepo, B-L-E-P-O, to discern something, to perceive. So there were things that were seen, which now this one refers to that which was seen, okay, which was seen, that which was seen. The word things here is not the same thing, okay. The word seen here is that which, okay, which are seen were not made of things appear. So watch this now. So there was a perception that you will not see just by reading stories. Again, where do we find faith? In what they, in what? Because the faith is not in what they did. Their faith is in what someone else will do. So where would we find faith? In their action or their words? Their words. So faith will be seen the testimony that they will give of another person's action. So their faith will be in someone else's action, not in their own. So whatever we see will not represent what should appear. We're not made of things, sorry, which will appear. There's behind the things that are seen will be an action or words. So that's why the Old Testament, pay attention to this, the Old Testament remains a mystery. Mystery means truth not explained. It doesn't mean truth is not there, but it was not explained. It remained a mystery. It's not a mystery anymore. Someone was telling me the other day, he said, but you teach context all the time. You say context. He said, but Paul and the apostles, even Jesus, they quoted from the Old Testament out of context. I said, go and get our new book. Read the introduction. If by now you don't know that the Old Testament is riddles, how else do you get truth from a riddle? Is it not out of context? Now we have Revelation, the epistles. You want to apply riddle into the revelation. I said, get our new book. It's free. Read the introduction alone, you'll be delivered. Hallelujah. Amen. True. So, what was the focus of their faith? The accomplished task of Jesus, which had not been done. That was it. So, their faith was in what? Was in the things. What are the things? What Jesus will do. Does it make sense? That was what their faith was. Okay, so let's start from one of them. One of them is Abel. Abel. I say, by faith, Abel. The song that I always say, it's me. By faith, Abel. He brought gifts. But was his faith in the gifts? Huh? No. Faith wasn't in the gifts. That's why the actions of everybody in Hebrews 11, they differed. But the assurance was the same. The actions differed. But the assurance, that's why he calls it sundry times, diverse manners. You'll find different things. But the assurance was the same. Now, Abel, go to Hebrews 12:24. Hebrews 11:4, through faith, 12:24. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than Abel. Now, what is the better? Jesus, his resurrection is what is called blood of sprinkling. It speaks better things. So, Abel's faith was in what? The resurrection of Christ. That's where his faith was. So, faith in Christ, pay attention now, faith in Christ was never for things. Is that clear? You know, we're talking about the Old Testament now. We've not even come to the epistles. Faith in Christ was never for things. Faith in Christ was for Christ alone. That's kind of funny, right? Faith in Christ was for Christ alone. What Christ will do on our behalf. Faith in Christ was not for things. Look at this. Hebrews 11 again. We're going to take them one by one, but not today. We have Abel, we have Enoch, we have Noah, we have Abraham. Okay. We have Abel, we have Enoch, we have Noah, we have Abraham, we have Sarah, we have Isaac and all that. And we have Moses. You know, you won't find anybody here having faith for things. Look at one that stands out. Hebrews 11, again, 26. That's Moses now. But I'll tap on 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let's take 26 together. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. So he said the reproaches of Christ are greater riches than things. Now, are the reproaches of Christ, now, the reproaches of Christ, is it your reproach for Christ or Christ's reproach for us? Huh? Christ's reproach for us. He calls them greater riches. Hallelujah. Because those who have the riches in Egypt didn't have faith in Christ. And Moses also enjoyed those riches. But faith in Christ made him esteem what Christ has done. Oh, sorry, then that'll be what Christ will do. Greater riches. Let me see how you understand that. The reproaches of Christ. Greater riches. Now, look at verse 13, Hebrews 11. Can we read that together? Verse 13. Let's go. Hebrews 11. We are not halfway, so don't. Let's go. Not having what? Don't tell me again. Not having received what? What? Abraham's blessings are mine. Ah. Didn't he receive what? Abraham, the richest man. How can you say he did not receive his promise? You know, there was a time the whole world belonged to Noah and his family. And the Bible says he did not receive the promise. That was not it. Eh? So if I'm on Forbes list number one, have glorified God. Say, come and see believers who are reading in life. Come and see them. Brother Noah, at the time he owned the world, and the Bible says he didn't receive the promise. Whatever I believe was still in the future. Noah! He owned the world so much he got drunk. He had no friends. You know? He said they all died in faith. What are you talking about? Abel was the second son of the richest man in the world. They had things. You know, they were not buying food. That's wealth. Well, you are not using money to buy. But then, faith was a reality of what they were looking for. Look at this. Let's take it together again. Hebrews 11, 13. Are you there? Let's go. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of, and embraced, and confessed that they were strangers. Don't tell me this. I don't believe this. Promises? Oh yeah. Evangelio, remember that. What someone else will do. Didn't receive it. But they were persuaded. The Bible says they saw it from afar off. I checked that word afar off. It's the word porothen. P-O-R-R-O-T-H-E-N. It means it's not where you are. So whatever was the promise, you will not see it in their days. You will see. Porothen is used in Luke 17:12, for example. To see from afar. That means the fellow is not near you. He's not where you are at all. Just to the far. A distance away from you. Is from the Greek word poro. And I need to expose that a bit. The word poro, P-O-R-R-O, is oftentimes used for thoughts. So, you'll be afar of where in your thoughts. It's not a distance, a physical distance. Poro. I'll get it for you. Matthew 15:8. Mark 7:6, the same thing. Used for thoughts. Matthew 15:8, Mark 7:6. Luke 14:32 and Luke 24:28. Alright. So it's used for thoughts. So that means they saw it where? Where did they see it? The promises. Come on! They saw it from where? Their hearts. They saw it from their hearts. That's what they did. So whatever their faith was for, you will not see it in the Old Testament. Come on. People, are you following this? Are you following this? Whatever their faith was for was not seen in the Old Testament. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright? So, they didn't see it. Look at it. Hebrews 11, we're still there. We saw it from afar off and we're persuaded and embraced them. Now, look at how many times the Bible uses the word they saw, they looked. Look at verse 10. For he looked, Abraham, for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for a city which had foundations. He looked. He looked. Why would he look? Did he look physically or he looked in his faith? Hebrews 11:1. Things hoped for, things not seen. He saw those things were in his heart. What Jesus will do, he saw it in his heart. Look at the word embrace. To embrace means to welcome like a guest. Haspazomai. H-S-P-A-Z-O-M-A-I. To welcome like a guest. So they welcome the word. Like a guest. They welcome the word. Then he says they confessed that they were what? Hebrews 11:13. They were what? They were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers. Xeno. Xenos in the Greek. X-E-N-O-S. Look at Hebrews 13:9. Strange meats. That's what you have it. Strangers. Then he uses the word pilgrims. I want you to look at the word pilgrim. So, their confession, okay, was not about things. Their confession, that physical things, their confession was even opposite things. Because he calls them pilgrims. The word pilgrims means a temporary position. What is not going to last. So, here's a Greek word, parapidemos. I'll spell it for you. P-A-R-E-P-I-D-E-M-O-S. What is not going to last? Okay? So, if we're going to talk about their faith, we must never relate it with what was temporary. Whatever they hold was what? Come on. Where is Abraham's farm? You've been there before? Where is Abraham's farm? All the gold he had, where is it? Where are they? Are they somewhere? They're all temporary. So, they definitely did not have faith for those things. Because he calls them pilgrims, temporary. The same word Peter used in 1 Peter 1:1 and then 1 Peter 2:11. 2 Peter 2:11 and 1 Peter 1:1. He calls it temporary. So whatever they had physically was not as a result of their faith. Have I said anything? Does it make sense to us? Because their faith was for things not seen. Hallelujah. The reason why many folks didn't understand this place is because they've always used Hebrews 11:1 as a definition of faith. But Hebrews 11:1 was relating to those who believed in Christ before he rose from the dead. Stand for following this well. Are you? Because this will lay a foundation for when we begin to discuss material things for the believer. Then it will make sense. Amen? Because their faith, obviously, was not about things. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Now go to Hebrews 11 one more time. That's where we are anyway. Verse 39. Let's read it together, verse 39, Hebrews 11, let's go. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, now don't forget, obtained a good report, they gave a good report through faith, received not the promise. Oh my God, in case you forgot the first one, he's reminding you. So God said, what he was saying was this, baby. They didn't get the promise, but they believed it, the promise came. Brethren, are you believing for the promise? Brethren. Hallelujah. A guy told me a couple of weeks back, he said, you have made me very careful now the way I preach. I don't talk anyhow again. Because no matter how good you feel, if that's not what is written, you didn't tell the truth. You know, you can feel good about a lie, so you're exciting yourself. For example, a guy, he was talking about, he's a Barcelona fan. You know, Barcelona is one of those clubs that I don't have good words for. He said, we won, and I was laughing at him. You? But he's feeling good about it. We won. And I was like, where is the trophy? No, you didn't win anything. You only paid your money. So they'll use your money for what they will win. Reality. Would you include it in your CV? Past honors. We won. So the reality is you were just excited. And that's why it's so funny in Nigeria. People stab themselves over what they think they won. And those who win don't stab themselves. You know, I remember one time I went to Emirates Stadium and we looked at, and they were telling us what the players do after a game. So after a game, no matter what happens, they go into the bar, they drive, and I'm thinking, that's what they do. And we are having headaches in Nigeria. And all this happened, obtained a good report of faith. God having provided something better. Hallelujah. You see that? Something what? Better thing, some better thing for us. That they without us should not be perfect. Better thing for us. Where did we start from? The thing they had was in hope. Do you get it? So, for our own to be better, it can't be hope. Let me see if you understand that. It's not better thing like, they got a Volkswagen, we are going to get a Lamborghini. No, we've already defined thing. Alright? Uh-huh. So, better thing for us, which is what creating, K-R-E-I-T-T-O-N. It's used 15 times in New Testament Greek, of which 12 is in the book of Hebrews. 1 Corinthians 7, 9, it's better to marry than to born. Why? Some of you like that verse. 1 Corinthians 7, I'm not going to open to it. Just quote it. Fair enough. 1 Peter 3, 17. If it's the will of God, be so. It is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well doing and then than for evil doing. 2 Peter 2:21. All right. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Okay. Very good. Now, so we will rely on the book of Hebrews on the word better. Now, the word better is, you have an underlining noun called kraton. Kraton is dominion. Dominion, where someone has, it's used for war, for example. There's activities going in. Someone has kraton when he has won. That means an accomplished task. Alright? Something better for us. So when he says better, what does it mean? Go to Hebrews 1:4. He uses it for Jesus and the angels. A better name than they, Hebrews 1:4. A better name, more excellent name, is much better than the angels. Hebrews 1:4. And here, don't forget, he was talking about authority, which of the angels said he at any time, sit at my right hand, accomplished. So Jesus is accomplished than the angels. Not any of the, you understand that? Okay. Hebrews 1:4. Then, Hebrews 7:7. Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. Now, what does it mean better? Don't forget, he was talking about the priesthood of Melchizedek, or better said, the priesthood of Christ of Melchizedek is forever. The priesthood of Levi was till they died. The priesthood of Jesus Christ is for what? Ever. So, that makes second, Hebrews 7:7. Hebrews 7:19. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope by which we draw near unto God. Better hope. What Jesus has done. Hebrews 7:22. So much what Jesus made a surety of a better testament. The one is old and passed away. The other one remains and is forever. Are you following this? Very good. So in everything we have read, did you notice that everything we have read so far on better refers to the resurrection of Jesus? Hebrews 1:4. Hebrews 7:7. Hebrews 7:19. Are you following these guys? Good. Then again, Hebrews 7:22. Then Hebrews 8:6. And now he obtained a more excellent ministry. When did he obtain this ministry? In the fourth gospels or in his resurrection? One more time. Good. The following. Hebrews 9:23. The word better is used 2 times in Hebrews 8:6. Better covenant as well. Hebrews 9:23. It was necessary that the patterns of things should be over in the heavens should be purified with this, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than this. For Christ is not entered the holy places. Is this his death or his resurrection? Thank you. The better. In Hebrews 10:34. That you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Whenever he's teaching heaven in Hebrews 11, in the book of Hebrews talking about Jesus' resurrection, a better enduring substance. Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called again the word heavenly, called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 11:35. I want to take you together now. Hebrews 11:35. Women, I'll wait for you. Let's go. Women receive their dead raised to life again. That means, wait. They receive their dead raised to life again. Those who died were raised back to life. You know. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a what? A better resurrection. Praise God. Because people were raised, some of them in the Old Testament, but the better resurrection is eternal life. Are you there? Very good. So, having read that now, let's go to, okay, before you go to Hebrews 12:24. The blood of Jesus speaks better things. Okay? That's again the resurrection of Jesus than Abel. So, Hebrews 12:24, God have been providing what? Something, some better thing that will be enduring, everlasting, right? Come on. What is that again? The resurrection of Christ is now an accomplished task. He provided for us something better. Okay? God having provided, the word provided is to see beforehand. Problepo. To see beforehand. Something he saw beforehand. That is, God having seen beforehand some better work, accomplishment of Jesus Christ for us. That they without us. Follow this, because we're not done at all. They without us should not be made perfect. What do you mean made perfect? Let's run through the word made perfect. Hebrews 2:10. Made perfect. The captain, he says, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Perfect. That's Jesus. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, that's Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believe. Eternal. Wow. Hebrews 7:19. The Lord made nothing perfect. Nothing. Nothing. That means the Lord didn't make anything last. Didn't make anything last. Okay? Eternal. Hebrews 7:28. The Lord making, for the law makes men high priests, which have infirmities, but the word of the host, which was since the law, maketh the Son, which is consecrated forevermore. He maketh the Son, which is consecrated forevermore. That's the word perfect again. Perfect. Evermore. Hebrews 9:9. Which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice, which could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. So, when you have the word perfect, it's one thing that something that is done once and remains so. Hebrews 9:9. Hebrews 10:1. For the law having shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the commerce perfect. That means to arrive at a destination. So what is? A final destination. Hebrews 10:14. Are you following this? Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering, he has brought us to an eternal destination. That's what perfected. Forever, them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Okay, good. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn, which we are, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men. Who are the just men? The men who believe by faith, right? Made what? Perfect. That means they have gotten to where? Their destination. So we are where they were going to. Do you understand that? They were going to a perfect end. We started from that end. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We started from that end to make them perfect. So that's why Hebrews 12, so let's go back to Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11 says to us that they without us, now who are us? We are the ones who start from the perfect end. They without this end, alright, couldn't be made perfect. What is this end? We see, no more. So Hebrews 12, 1. And this is important. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, because of this, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12, 1. Look at your Bible. Who are the cloud of witnesses? Who are those who witnessed about Jesus before now? The Old Testament says. Look at it, Hebrews 12, 1. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, let us here is not to the believer. You get it? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. What were they looking unto in the Old Testament? Jesus. They were looking at Jesus. So it says, look away to Jesus. That is, look away from who to who. That the word looking is look away from one to another. So we have to look away from who? From who? From the cloud of witnesses. Because their gaze was on someone. Are you there? So to look at what they looked at. But what were they looking at? Jesus, the author. Author means the one who began. Now, where did he begin it? Hebrews 11, 4, in Abel. He's the author and finisher. So, he's the author. That is, he started in Abel as hope, what he will do. Finisher means somebody who has accomplished it. Has he accomplished what they were hoping for? Good. So right now, he is the author and finisher. Let me ask you. Then, was he the author and finisher? No, because he had not accomplished it. Now, he has finished it. Whatever they believed for has been what? Accomplished. Let me see if you understand that. So, we look at Jesus. That means Hebrews 11:1, Old Testament faith. Hebrews 12:2, the New Testament. Do you understand that? You get it? Do you understand? Hebrews 11, we are both looking at the same person. But they saw him, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. What were the things they were hoping for? What he did in Hebrews 12 too. And the other cross. And now sat down. Hallelujah. Remember the word things is action. So what was the action in their hope? Jesus' death, burial, and most importantly, his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God. That's our faith now. Let me see if you understand that. Good. That's our faith. That's what faith is to us now. Praise God. So, teleos, which is perfect, means to stop repeating an action. A final destination. So all of them were not accomplished till Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Have we solved some things? Huh? If you can, I mean, if Hebrews 11:1 was clear to you, everything should be clear. Was Hebrews 11:1 clear to you? Good. So their faith was not in things, it was in a person's action. That's why their faith could never be seen in what they owned. And so, this is why And I'm going to go through that as we proceed in the study. When you read about the Old Testament folks in the epistles, little or no mention is made of what they owned. Who has observed that? Did you observe that? Little or no mention. Because that's how to study them. The minute you direct your focus to what they owned, you have departed from the faith. Can we learn from them? Yeah, we can. We'll see how. But that's not what their faith was for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Quickly go to Hebrews, John 1:1. And tie that up and close. Hope you learned something. Yep. So, in the beginning was the Word. Okay? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The meaning of the word Word is the word Logos. Logos is an explanation. It's a word used to describe. It's not, it doesn't mean Jesus' second name is Logos. Alright? The word Logos means logic. The logic. For example, you know how you solve an equation. And then they tell you this is the logic behind it. This is how, if you're given a question, this is the formula. Right? You arrive at this with this. This explains the other. So, when he says, what's the word? You can say, what's the explanation? Or the reasoning? Or the understanding? In other words, why Jesus was called the Word is because we explain God perfectly through Him. He is the Word, the logic, the explanation. No other character in the Bible could be called this. That's why John says, no man had seen God at any time. Whereas in the Old Testament, we've thought that Moses saw God, but Moses was related with angels. And angels who have not seen God. I thought I taught you that before. Because angels never rose above man in understanding. And they would never. Angels hadn't seen God. The first time angels saw God was in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says that angels today, they are learning from the church. Angels don't teach us anything. Angels learn. It's in our study, was it? Law in Genesis 5. It's in there. I explained all that there. So an angel sure can go on Lagos about the expressway and tell 2,000 people be saved. He said, shut up your mouth. What do you do? Go and be rejoicing. And leave that to us. Hallelujah. That's why they can't preach. They want to, but they can't. Hallelujah. So, who is the Logos? Jesus Christ. So, who has he said to any angel at any time, sit at my right hand? Say, not an angel. Who are they? Are they not all ministering spirits? I like the other Hebrews. Like saying, house boys. He just shut them up immediately. And he now ridiculed. After saying that, ministering spirit now said that they were the ones that gave the law. Hebrews 2:2. The Jews that said, yea. So you were dealing with servants. Servants just, if you wear this, and very brutal folks. But let's leave that. That's not our story today. So, in the beginning was the logic. Look at verse 2. John 1. Are you there? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Oh, He made all things. How can you say He made all things? God didn't make all things. I'll take it one more time. God didn't make all things. Because if you say he made all things, then you say he made sin. We know, for example, he didn't make darkness, even in this place. When he says all this, after when he says, well, all things, you say all these things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made, any of these things. In him was what? And the life was what? And the life, so what's he talking about? Life and? Glory to God. Glory to God. All things were made by him. I like the word made. It's the word ginomai. It means they came to pass. They are found. Hallelujah. They came to pass. They are found. They exist, better still, in him. What are the things that exist in him? Light and life. Hallelujah. Then he says, the light shines where? In verse 5. In darkness. And the darkness couldn't comprehend. Was light darkness made by him? Was darkness made by him? So where is everything made by him? How about talk now? Was darkness made by him? John 1:5. He said, in him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So when he says all things were made by him, life and light. Glory to God. So we can only find God in light. We can only find him in life. Without any, him was not anything made that was made. Glory to God. I close from here. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Remember, we explained Genesis from the epistles. Hallelujah. Very good. In the beginning, God, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then he says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This already shows you that this is not talking about creation. Because if there was nothing, then there can be waters. Hallelujah. So when it says form and void, is the word toho boho, which means nothing. Nothing. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Discover that this is not the sun. So whatever he says here is spiritual. Hallelujah. Let me see how you understand that. We've explained that over and over again. This is not the sun, because the sun was created later. Whatever he said here was not physical. So when he mentions the darkness and he mentions light, here is Moses foreseeing the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, that's how the Bible opens. The Bible opens with Christ. The Bible opens with the revelation of Jesus. He is the Alpha. Hallelujah. The light shines. That means Moses, seeing the heart of men, he knew there was darkness. Then he says, God said, ha ha, God's first utterance was light. Let there be light. Or the Hebrew will say, light be. And this is how Paul puts it, 2 Corinthians 4. You learning something? 2 Corinthians 4. Glory to God. I say glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4. If our gospel be hid, verse 3, it is hid to them who are lost. That are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In the beginning was who? The Word. In him was what? Life. What was that life? The light of men. That's in the beginning. Glory to God. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Let's take six together. God who commanded the light. That's not the sun. The light. You know, the physical light is taken from the sun. But this is the light. To shine out of darkness. Has shined where? In our heart. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Moses was writing about the gospel.
Hallelujah. Because it's in the gospel that we see everything. Be blessed this morning. Stand to your feet. Give God praise. Lift your hands and worship Him.